Parsha Bechukosai. It's the last parsha in Sefer Vayikra. It deals with primarily the brachos and the klolos, the blessings and the curses that will fall Klal Yisrael if they listen to Kadosh Baruch Hu, or lo aleinu if they don't. We take a look at the end of the curses, these horrible, horrible curses. We speak about I will make the land desolate, and your foes will dwell upon it and will be desolate. And you will scatter among the nations. I will unsheathe the sword after your land will be desolate, and your cities will be a ruin. And a little bit later on, it continues, the survivors among you will bring weakness into the hearts of the land of their foes. They will stumble over one another in flight from the sword, but there is no pursuer. I mean, horrible, horrible descriptions. Because of their iniquity, your remnant will disintegrate in the lands of your foes, and because the iniquities of their forefathers are with them as well, they will disintegrate. Toward the end, almost at the end of this whole description, the pasuk tells us, Parakavav pasuk mem, then they will confess their sin and the sin of their forefathers for the treachery with which they have betrayed me, and also for having behaved toward me with casualness. I too will behave toward them with casualness, and I will bring them into the land of their enemies. Perhaps then their unfeeling heart will be humbled, and they will gain appeasement for their sin. And then the next pasuk speaks about that Zachar Tei Hashem will remember the bris of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Aretz Yizkor, remember the bris, the covenant with the Lamb, and ultimately redeem us. The obvious question when taking a look at pasuk Mem and Memalo 40 and 41 is the question that the Mayan Be'er Shreva articulates in Source 3. V'ikshu kol ha-mefarshim. Many of the mefarshim ask, Shim kvar hitvadu et avonam ve avon avotam. In Pasuk Mem, they confess their sin and the sin of their forefathers. Wow! Lama mar kosh baruch hu, afani alechim ha-mekari. Then why is the next Pasuk, you know what? I will also treat them with casualness, and I'll bring them in the land of their enemies, and I will make sure they confess. And only then does it say, Hashem will remember us. The Pasuk says, and then they will confess their sin and the sin of their father, that they've done, you know, acted with treachery. Why does Hashem forgive their sin? It says, do it avonam, they confess. Why is this confession not accepted? That's our overall question for today, obviously with an eye on the lessons that we can learn for our particular life. Before we begin our study, let's talk a few minutes about the concept of confession in general. Rabbi Frand, in It's Never Too Little, It's Never Too Late, It's Never Enough, brings down from the Rambam. The Rambam Hilchot Tshuva writes that three parts to proper tshuva. Kabbalah Lasi, the sinner must be make a wholehearted commitment not to repeat a sin in the future. Charat Alava, he must regret having committed the sin in the past. And Vidui, verbal confession of his sin. He says, if I were to take a poll asking people to rank these three steps in order of difficulty, I would venture to say most people would rank Vidui as the easiest of the three. Charata on the next level, and the most difficult would be the Kabbalah La'asi, making amends for the future. And he says, Vidui, the verbal articulation of our sin, is something we do 10 times each Yom Kippur. It doesn't seem particularly difficult. However, he says, I think that this perception is mistaken. I think that Vidui requires much more than allowing the words of Shabnu Bagadnu to roll off our tongues. Furthermore, we have to understand what is this idea of Vidui all about. Mishnah Sravara and Aaron Kotler in source number 5 points out, Madua katva Torah rako tobim farash v'lois kira klal sharcho ketuba kilu Vidui hi'eikar. When you take a look at the three components, Vidui is the only one mentioned in the Chumash here, Parshas Naso. We don't find the others mentioned, which is also curious. And again, he offers a technical answer that Vidui is like the grand finale. You need to have, in order to do Vidui, you need to have Charata, you need to have remorse, you need to have Kabbalah Asi, you need to have a change for the future. So Vidui is like, you know, the final act. You're right, but there's much more to hear. It brings down in Source 6 and 7 the idea from Yechezkel HaNavi that the people wanted to confess, but they weren't able to confess. And part of their problem was, they said, that the challenge of real confession, the challenge of really doing Vidui, do you know, is Akolabusha Hibividui, the asterisk in 7, Mishum Shahid Lifnei Bori Mamish. When a person does Charata, they feel remorse, and the Kabbalah Lasi, it's between them and themselves, and they're able to handle this uneasiness. But you know what? Vidui, it's Vidui, is between you and a Kaddish Baruch Hu. V'lachein yiziru zeh Torah b'yichud, v'katva b'peirush dezeu ikar tshuva, v'kam makom hakoshi b'tshuva. This is really where the difficulty is at. And if we think about it for a moment, imagine we hurt somebody who we really respect, someone we really look up to, and we do something that wasn't so nice. So the thought that I would have to go over to that person, this person who I really look up to and respect, and say, I couldn't even get the words out of my mouth. I may feel sorry, and I may say, I will never do that again. Oh boy, I will never do that again. But to able to articulate that, that's where the difficulty is. That's where the challenge is. And hence the Torah writes, Vidui specifically, to tell us that this is the chiyuv. Rav Pinkus brings down a very fascinating Yalkut Shimoni. The Yalkut Shimoni source 8 says, V'hit vadu, and you will confess, Ein b'mashma vidui ela ba'aretz. One may think that you can only do vidui, confession, in Eretz Yisrael. Minayin af begalus, how do I know that you can also do vidui, confession, outside of Israel? Because the pasuk says, "Vidvadu et avonam veravon avotam," you'll confess your sins and the sins of your forefathers. So the question becomes, why would I even think that vidui, confession, is only in Eretz Yisrael? It doesn't grow on the ground, right? It's not something like you have to do truma ma'isras on. Like, what is about vidui? So he explains, "Mikam uchach shemaisa vidui, no maisa shadam osev beno levein atzmo." Vidui, confession, is not something one does between one person and another. Vasher mave bitui lecharata v'tzara malsav haraim. Vidui mahut hidabrut v'kesher yashir ben adam achotel l'baro. You know what vidui is? It's a direct communication with Hashem. A person comes before Hashem and says, Ribono shel olam, Hashem, chatati. Aviti, pashati, esiti, kach v'kach, I've sinned, I've erred, I've done the following. U'mevateh bazeh shebirtzono litkarev elav v'chazara. And through this, one is showing their desire to come closer to Hashem. The whole idea of vidui is for the two sides to be able to reconcile together and to be able to come close together. Now I understand why one may think that you need a Beis HaMikdash, you need Eretz Yisrael, you need the place of Kedusha in order to be able to do vidui, because vidui is really, as we say, Achei Shechatanu Lefanecha, it's in front of you. Vidui is that very intimate closeness with Hashem. One may have thought that it's only when the Beis HaMikdash is around, there's Hashras, Hashchina, that the Divine Presence, then I can have confession. So Torah says no. Even a chutz la'aretz, even when you're among the enemies, in those lands, you can still do vidui. And therefore we understand, vidui inyano lefnot el HaKadosh Baruch Hu, vidui is turning to Hashem, v'lomar lo ribono shel olam. And you say, k'yemet mechitza b'neinu shenosra yideche, there is a block, a barrier between us that I've created for my sin. Please, Hashem, enable us, enable me to be able to have this close connection to you, break down this barrier. So my friends, the question now becomes even further. If Kla Yisrael are doing this, they are confessing, the Chumash says, describes that as a confession, then why is it that Hashem doesn't accept their confession and says, you know what, I'm going to make it even worse, and I'm going to make sure you really want to connect with me. Isn't their confession sufficient? So I'd like to try to offer two approaches, of many, but two approaches. The first, it's a classic approach among the Mefarshim, Ksav Sofer, many others. We'll see it in the Imre Shefer of Shlomo Kluger. And he says the following. He asks our question. He says, V'chi b'shvil shitvadu v'yazvu et avanam yelech HaKadosh Baruch Hu mem b'keri b'miya. Because they confess, Hashem's response is, oh, I'm going to leave you, you know, in happenstance. We know from all the works of Musar, Kishadam Bali Vadovla Shuvla Bori Sarah Saricha Vidui Shitia Bli Shumi Natlur Lifekrishbrahu. When you confess. There can't be any excuses made. Laktin hachet, to try to diminish the sin. Rak sheyeh modeh v'ozev lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to be honest and say, yes, I've sinned. V'gadol avani minuso. And it's beyond what I can carry. And nevertheless, I am asking you, Hashem, that in all of your shibarov rachamah v'chasadav, in all of your mercy, yislach lanu, please Hashem forgive me. That's the vidui and the tshuva and the chona. But if you say in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, Hashem, this one caused me, and that one caused me, and it's really not my fault, and you know there were extenuating circumstances, and. That's not vidui. And boche libos uklayos, Hashem, who knows what's inside our hearts, keep in mind, vidui is, as we just spoke about, our relationship with Hashem. Hashem knows better. You can't fool Hashem. This isn't between you and your mindset. This is between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knows that you're lying. And such a vidui is not a vidui that is accepted. Similar to what the pasuk in Yeshaya says about Avicha Rishon Chata, you know, other Rishon sin, and people want to use that. Well, if he sinned, what do you expect from me? And it's not going to work that way. Yes, he sinned, and he has his culpability, and we sin, and we have our culpability. One of the greatest challenges, my friends, we know, is taking personal responsibility in today's day and age. And I've said this many times, working with 18 to 20-year-olds, so often they'll ask me for advice. What do you think I should do, Mrs. Smiles? I say, okay, let's talk about it. No, just tell me what to do. Tell me what to do means I don't want to make the decision. So if it goes wrong, I have someone to blame. It's not I didn't make the decision, you made it. It doesn't work that way. And we have to realize that, yes, we make decisions. Yes, they may be wrong. And yes, I have to pick up the pieces because it's my life. And I ultimately am the one who's responsible. Therefore, continues Rav Kluger in 11, Nimsa Yotze Lan Mizeh. We see from here, when a person is mitvadeh, asur li natzev latin chato be'ezet tibashia. Don't try to minimize it. State it as it is. And we know that one of the ways a person tries to minimize their sins, the yuchal ha'dam li natzev v'lomar davon avasaykar hulachto v'oino chayab adavar. People can easily, and people do, blame their parents. You know, it's really not my fault, Hashem. And that is because my parents, they didn't mechanech me correctly, they didn't do whatever for me correctly. You know, blame it all on them. And you can easily say, you know, Hashem, the reason why I'm a liar today is my parents didn't stop me from lying. Had they stopped me from lying, I won't be lying today. So don't blame me, God. You know, go back a generation. And that's shown in the pasuk. That when they are when they are confessing their sins, with whom else do they add to their confession? Their sins of their forefathers, which is just an indication of how they're not taking personal responsibility, how they're blaming this on other people. It's their fault, it's not my fault. And that's why Hashem says, you know what? If this is your attitude, like you're not taking real responsibility for what you've done wrong, and you're blaming it on others, you're mitigating the circumstances, you're going to continue to sin because you don't feel what you've done is really wrong. And therefore Hashem says, I'm not going to accept your forgiveness, and I'm going to send you into exile. And in exile, listen to the pasuk. The pasuk says there, Afani Elech and 12 Imaim Bekeri, Veveti Otam Alert Saifeim, I'll bring you to the land of your enemy. Oh, Az Yichanan Levavam, then you will be humble. Harel, v'az yirtzu et avonam. Then you will take responsibility for avonam, your sins. It doesn't mention your forefathers' sins. Then Hashem will then bring the zacharti and briefly, Hashem will remember the covenant. What Hashem is waiting for is for Klal Yisrael now to shift the blame, but to take full responsibility. What was wrong with the Jewish people's confession that Hashem did not accept it? Because he realized that it was not a full-hearted confession coming from real belief that they've done something wrong. They were confessing in order, a lot of the Mefarshim say, you know, just to get out of this problem. Okay, well, I'll confess. But it was a confession that was not taking the blame on themselves, but rather blaming others. Rabbi, in the article series, the introduction on Vidui, he brings down, He says that it's an intelligent, thinking, imaginative being. Man has all sorts of thoughts flashing constantly through his mind. Even sublime thoughts of remorse and self-improvement are not strange to him, but they do not last. For his thoughts to have lasting meaning, he must distill them into words, because the process of thought culminates when ideas are expressed and clarified. That is not as easy as it sounds. It's usually excruciatingly difficult for people to admit explicitly that they have done wrong. We excuse ourselves. We refuse to admit the truth. We shift blame. We deny the obvious. We excel at rationalizing. The model of the person who is able to say, Chatati Lashem, I sin, is David HaMelech. After being charged with his sins by Nasan Hanavi of the story of David and Bathsheba, David HaMelech says two words, Chatati Lashem. And that's the model that we have to do. No excuses. Perhaps what we don't know is a gewaltig point that the Gra points out. Right before David HaMelech says these two seminal words, Chatati Lashem, there's a blank space. Natan HaNavi accuses him, stop, pause, there's a break. And then David says, Chatati Lashem. The Gra in the bracket of 13 explains the significance of the blank space before David's response. There was a silence. After Natan's stern words, HaMelech was engaged in an inner struggle. He could have justified his deed on many different levels, technically, and not sin. He had a right to punish Uriah, and there's a retroactive get. He had a lot of things he could say. You know what that blank space is? That's that inner struggle. That's the inner struggle that we all go through. David HaMelech was able to not rationalize. He was able to take that moment and fly with it. And this, says the Or Chadash, Rav Zaitchik in 14, is our challenge. Hinei mitivo shel adam af b'shav shu nichnal mitvadeh. The challenge is, even when a person comes to the level of the ready to admit, and the ready to say vidui confession alei zechei shechata, she'ein hachnato viduyav elo lemechse. Our challenge is, we only are able to admit to a certain point. Bishum ofen sheino yachol lashimet atzmo kalil ubepem molet. The problem is, it's not a full force confession with a full heart, where a person is able to really be achrayi bakol, responsible for everything. He likes to find atmalot vatkalot, excuses. It really wasn't so bad, Hashem. You know, like, I can think of things that were much worse. Shumavsihu hashetshetshituf lohu yachid shebitzal pal maser rasha. You know, Hashem, it really wasn't only me. If you take a look at this situation, you will see there are other people involved. And when you bring other people into a situation, you mitigate the punishment for yourself, you mitigate responsibility. That's what people do. And you know, a classic example of this he brings in 15 is Paro. Right, Paro was a very hard time to admit that he was wrong. He was Ksheyarev. And you see in the Dana 15, you find one time that Paro does admit. And what does he say? Ani v'ami harishayim. I and my people are wicked. Says Rav Zaitchik, Amo shibirubo haya gam shubalo sarav. What do you mean, you and your people? Your people are puppets under you. Why are you saying you and your people? Just say you are a Rasha. You are a wicked person. Why bring your people in here? Because it's hard to just talk about yourself. It's easier to say, collectively, we've made a mistake. Me and the people were wrong. Then it's only about you. The spotlight isn't on what you've done. You know, when you bring the spotlight onto a million people, it really, you know, dims the light. That's Paro. That's the human psyche. That's what we have to work against. And this is why it wasn't accepted. Ve'ein ha'tshuva adayin shleima. It is not a tshuva, that's tshuva shleima, a full tshuva. Rabbi Friend, in this essay that we brought before, brings us a classic example of this inner struggle that we all have, of being able to face up to the truth, being able to be honest with ourselves, being able to take this responsibility. The classic story is the interchange between Shaul HaMelech and Shmuel HaNavi. After Shmuel HaNavi told Shaul HaMelech to decimate the entire city of Amalek, cattle, everything, they have the war. They keep the livestock alive to bring a sacrifice to the God, and Agag the king is also kept alive. Hashem comes to Shmuel HaNavi and says to him, you know what, I'm so sorry, Mitchell king. Look, he didn't follow my word. The next day, after Shmuel HaNavi hears this prophecy, he comes to Shaul. And Shaul greets him with a big Shalom Aleichem. Hakimosi etvar Hashem. Baruch atah Hashem. Wow! I've done everything that Hashem has told me to do. In his mind, he's 100%. So Shmuel says to him, Umeh kol atzon? And what is the sound of sheep? Suddenly I hear a lot of sheep in the background. Where is this coming from? So Shaul says, you know, the people took pity on the best of the sheep in order to bring them as sacrifices to Hashem. To which Shmuel says to Shaul, why didn't you listen to Hashem? Listening to Hashem takes precedence over bringing cattle. But Asher Shamati Mikol Hashem, I did listen. We destroyed all of Amalek except for Agag and the cattle. He says, no. In obedience to the voice of Hashem, you have rejected the word of God. Shaul finally confesses his guilt, but not excusing himself. I have sinned, he says, for I fear the people, and I hearken to their voice. What do you want from me? I can't help it. The people were pressuring me to keep the sheep alive, so I kept them alive. At which point, Shmuel rejects his argument, and he turns to leave him. Depends on the first sheep. Somebody tears Shmuel HaNavi's coat. At which point, Shmuel says, your kingdom is torn from you. And finally, after the entire dialogue, Shaul says, Chatati, I have sinned. Wow, what did it take for him to say that? We don't have an easy time admitting guilt. It is so difficult for us to say, I'm wrong or I'm sorry. He quotes here Rabbi Yehuda Leib Chassman, one of the Musar greats of the previous generation, once chastised a person for doing something wrong. The person insisted his action was justified. They argued the point, and finally the person said to Reb Leib, you're right. That's not enough, Reb Leib said. You need to say, I'm wrong. It's not enough to say to the other person, you're right. Before Yom Kippur, we are to ask forgiveness from those whom we hurt during the year. The execution of this halacha leaves something to be desired. I've often heard people who, knowing they did something wrong to their fellow man, approach him and say, if I did anything wrong to you this year, please forgive me. Or if I offended you in some way, a few people actually go over to someone and say, I was wrong for hurting you. The inability to say I was wrong poses a great problem when it comes to the tshuva process. Admitting that we were wrong is the essence of tshuva. What is the problem? So he says, one of the reasons is, vidui is not about looking at your life. Vidui is about looking at your life and asking yourself, am I doing things right? Is my entire life going to waste because of some basic flaw in my Weltanschauung? Like, sometimes we like to hold on to things, and that just, you know, makes the whole road crooked that we go on. That is difficult. Looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, maybe I'm wrong, seems like a painful, perhaps an almost impossible step. That's what Vidu is all about. Looking at yourself and asking, has my outlook on life been correct, or have I been wrong? And he brings a story about a person, Malz Tshuva, who had difficulty with sneeze. She couldn't give up her pants. We all have something we consider an integral part of us, something that we know we should part with, but find extremely difficult, because we know they'll require us to rethink everything that we hold dear. Part of the Vidui process is identifying and coming to grip with your pants, so to speak, and then finding the strength to make the difficult choice of parting with them. Rabbi Twersky observes that there are four basic necessities for human existence: food and water, shelter, clothing, and listen to number four, someone to blame. And he learned this from working with alcoholics. One blames his overbearing boss, another blames his nagging wife, everyone else is driving him to drink. Shifting the blame releases the alcoholic from the obligation to change. When it's the boss's fault, the drinking is only a normal response. This is also the reason why it's not my fault attitude is the greatest impediment to tshuva. You have no reason to change if you are not at fault. Rav said this is mamash ha-yesod in all of Ravodas Hashem. says the Yesod of being able to realize that if we can take responsibility, if I can't look at the mirror and say that I am on the wrong train and I need to switch trains, I need to switch my path in life, I need to switch direction, then I'm just going to perpetuate where I am. And it can't be, well, what do you want from me? And you know, it has to be an honest look at where I'm at. As the Tova Pinin points out in 23, Avami Natsel Bevidui, Shitsiba Plonik Armalo Lachto, Ain Levidui Erech. If you're going to blame somebody else, it doesn't have any Erech. You have to be able to say the truth, Shehem Atzmam Ashemin, that we are guilty. Perhaps the most famous story of this is the Gemara that speaks about Rabbi Lazar ben Dordai, who was a person who committed many, many sins. And at one point, he heard that it was impossible for him to do tshuva. So what did he do? He went to the mountains, out in the fields, put his head between his legs, and he davened, and he said, Shamayim v'aretz bikshu alei rachamim, heaven and earth, have mercy on me. Hari mugvos bikshu alei rachamim, the mountains and hilltops, have mercy on me. And then he realized, ein davar talui elabi, I have no one else to turn to but me. It's dependent on me. And with that, Yatza Nishmaso, he died. The Sfarim explained, Shamayim V'aretz is blaming your environment. What do you want? I grew up in an environment where everyone was doing this. I think I had a choice. Hari Mugvos throughout Tanakh represents parents, fathers, and mothers. My parents, what do you want from me? This is the way they raised me. You expect me to be any different? And he realized you can't blame the environment, and you can't blame your parents. Ein hadavar talui ela bi. The Sifte Chaim in Source 24 takes this further, and he says, V'yitzo gadol b'kochos ha-nefesh shel adam. Tivo shel adam kishenu savar ratzo mimatzavo ruchani. Oftentimes, when a person isn't happy with where their spiritual level is, noheku lashkide matzpuno, we try to assuage our conscience, v'litlorna tadavar b'sibot shano, and we blame outside circumstances, why I'm not holding where I should be holding. You know, Hashem, if I only had a good friend, I'd be different. That'd be easier for me to do this better. Oh, this is very dangerous. You know, this is the what if. You know, if I only had a better husband, a better wife, better children, better home, better car, better, I don't know what, if I had better vacations, you know, better vacations, my mind would be clearer and I'd be able to serve you better, Hashem. I mean, there's no end to what we, if it were only. And it's very dangerous. Because again, there's no personal responsibility. Well, what do you want? I'm married to this person, my kids are like this, my in-laws are like that, gosh, that mother-in-law, and it goes on and on. But he don't, and you don't do anything. The only time we can really make changes is when a person comes to the realization, she'ein hadavar talui ela bi. Az yivachach shekol terutzim terutzei shavhei. Then you realize that all of your excuses are excuses. And Hashem has made you with your head, with your heart, with your mitos, with your challenges in life, with your exact circumstances, because He wants you. He doesn't want somebody else. He wants you to serve Him with all the challenges that you have. Don't make excuses. Own up to what your challenges and situations are in life. Daven to Hashem to help you overcome these challenges, but be honest about them. That's what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. He wants this aspect of honesty, of being able to call a spade. And this is the reason that the Sfarim say that the person who cursed was the son of Shlomi Bat Divri from Mate Dan. And the reason he cursed is because he wanted to set up his camp, his tent in Dan's camp, and Dan threw him out. They say it goes by the father, not by the mother. And he went to the Beis Din of Moshe, and he was found guilty, and he went out and he cursed. But wasn't Dan the one asked to let that Falibuf who took everybody in? Why is Dan being so mean? And the answer is, says the Lekach Falibuf, had this person come to shave it down and said, I have nowhere to live. And I realized I'm not supposed to live here, but I'm a gay or I'm a convert. I need a place to live. They would have taken him in with open arms. When you don't admit it and you just force yourself and push yourself, that's where the problem is. You have to be able to be honest. I don't belong here. I have nowhere to be. Sure, we'll take you in. But don't try to be someone you're not. That is uncalled for. And unfortunately, people can live their whole lives this way. That's why Vidui, my friends, is why Vidui is so difficult and why Vidui is mentioned in our pasuk. Because Vidui is not just about Erev Yom Kippur. We're talking about it in Sivan and Iyar. We'll talk about that in a minute. Vidui is all-encompassing. It's about taking a hard look at oneself and making sure one is on the correct path in life. 22. None of us should ever have to face a moment in life when we suddenly find out we blew it all. Never has a man on his deathbed uttered the words, I regret not spending enough time at the office. I remember once reading a line in Reader's Digest that spoke about a CEO who retired from a company, not Jewish. And at his goodbye party, they asked him, you know, you have such a great position, why are you retiring? And he said, my daughter recently got married. I didn't know who the bridesmaids were at the wedding. When I realized that I don't know who my children's closest friends are, I realized I'm spending too much time in the office. That's Vidui. That's coming face to face. Sometimes we live our life without taking stock of what and who we are and what we are doing with our time. This is the purpose of Yom Kippur. But if there's one thing that is more crushing than finding out at the end of his life that your life has been naught, it's to find that out in the afterlife. We all know that we are going to have the Day of Judgment after we leave this world. One can barely imagine how dreadful it must be for someone who finds himself standing before the Kisei HaKavod, the throne of glory, and paraphrasing the words of King Shaul, HaKimosi Dvar Hashem, Hashem, I fulfilled your word. What thought I could do? I learned Torah, I gave charity, etc. But then to his utter chagrin, Ribbono Shalom may respond with something to the effect of, and what is this racket of animals that I hear in the background? Except it won't be the sound of animals. It will be the book of the person's life. And Hashem will say, that is your version of HaKimosi Dvar Hashem. This is what you mean? This is the life you've led? It'll be too late at that point. We have to be able to be honest with ourselves. So the question you may be asking yourselves, and it's a very good question, is a beautiful idea. Important to come to realization of who you are and be honest with yourself. But why are we talking, aside from the Parsha Shir and relevant to the Parsha, why am I talking about this in May and Iyar? This is like, you know, great rah-rah speech for Vidui and Yom Kippur. And the answer is an answer we've spoken about many times and needs to be reiterated each and every year. Matnat Chaim speaks about that Ezra Sofer mandated that before Shavuos we would read the curses in Parshat Bechukosai, and before Rosh Hashanah we read the curses in Parshat Kitavo, for the idea of Kadesh Tichlesh Anavakil Kolteha, let the year end with all of its curses. So you ask yourself, okay, I understand why we read in Parshat Kitavo, that's the end of the year, but why am I reading it in Sivan? It's not the end of the year. If anything, I should read it by Nisan. And the answer is that Shavuos is also a Yom Hadin. Just like Rosh Hashanah has a Day of Judgment where we need to be working on Tshuva, Shavuos is also a Day of Judgment. That's why, my friend from the Torah, we have 49 days to prepare. What should we be doing now? We should be doing Tshuva. We spoke about the last few weeks, the Hishtabdos, being an Eved Hashem. This is our work of Tshuva. Am I on the right path? Am I living a life, we spoke about last week, dedicated to the will of Hashem, that I'm doing what He wants from me? And I'm doing it with Ashreinu, with how fortunate I am. And he quotes here the Shlach Kodosh in the name of Sefer Tolas Yaakov, that on Shavuos, on Atzeres, Nidonim, Peiros Ha'ilan, the fruit of the tree are judged. So granted, the pomegranates are judged. But it's not only that. We, the Neshamos, that are Porchot Milano Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kabbalistically, our souls that come from this grand tree, Kivyachol of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, are also judged. And we're judged on this day of Shavuos, Ala Torah Shenitnapo, Shebitlu. Are we keeping a life of Torah? Are we living a life of Torah and mitzvot? That's the question Hashem asks each and every one of our souls on Shavuot. Each and every one of us has asked, Nasa v'nishma, are you ready to accept Torah? Are you ready to live a life dedicated without question to the way of Torah? This is a question our souls are asked. And this is a question that we need to respond to. And this is the Yom HaDin. We have to prepare ourselves beforehand by looking at ourselves clearly in the mirror and saying, yes, I am, or no, I'm not. I need to fix myself. Where have I gone off course in making Torah the top priority in my life? Because we know on Shavuos, all the ruchnias, all the spirituality for the year, how much times we're going to be inspired, how many times only Davin will be inspired, how many times we'll listen to a shir will be inspired, are all decided on Shavuos. This is the time that my whole nitzchias, my whole eternity is on the line here. I need to be able to say on Shavuos Hashem, this is what I want, Kim Chayenu V'Ruch Yemenu, this is my life. And in order to be able to honestly say that, we have to take a hard look at ourselves. V'yitzvadu, v'yidui, am I on the right track or not? You know, it's like people, I've gotten this many times where people say to me, isn't tshuva a mitzvah just for Elo Rosh Hashanah? And I say, open up a siddur. You ever see Hashiveinu Avinu Sorsecha, the Karveinu Malkeinu Lavrosecha? It's a bracha on tshuva. Slach lan Avinu Ki Chasanu. You know, forgive me, Hashem, I've sinned. Tshuva's for every day. If tshuva's for every day, vidui, which is also obviously part of tshuva's for every day, this greater vidui, a Weltanschauung, is very much appropriate, Erev Shavuos. That, my friends, is level number one. Yes, they're confessing, but they're including their forefathers. They're blaming somebody. That's not the confession Hashem wants. He wants a confession to break them, and they will be able to admit avonam, their sin, be able to take personal responsibility. That break, chatati l'Hashem, I admit. Not that struggle of Sheol HaMelech, to be able to say, I'm off course. To be able to say, I take responsibility. Not amiv, aniva miharashayim. No, ani, me. The buck stops here. Let's introduce the second idea with a very, very beautiful yisod of Mishnah Rav Aaron, which is worth the whole shir just for this yisod. We say in Vidui Anachdo Votenu Chatanu, and this is where we get here, Vidui Avonam Venavonam Vatam, Vatam Bezehi, Ki Tachen Che Ishe Echud Vegrama Bezeh, Imitzat Tivim Habe'ayim Bingusha. Sometimes we are confessing for our parents' sin as well, is that oftentimes we get certain character traits of our parents, anger, stinginess, whatever it may be. So I have this, and I'm recognizing that it came from a different place. And I'm also recognizing that there are certain limitations, fallacies, certain blockages that happen, certain lackings in the previous generation that are going to have a long-term effect in future generations as well. And that's also part of what the Vidui is about. And we know, like when you plant a little seed and a lot comes from it, in one action you can have a tremendous amount of hashpah, tremendous amount of influence. And it's not only with one's children. It can be in any with anyone you encounter, where you do a good act, and you let's say you bring someone back into doing tshuva, so all of their children and all of their mitzvahs go on your bank account. It's like amazing, right? A teacher, you know, they say a teacher should look at their income, they should look at their outcome, right? Again, a teacher who affects a student, their whole family, Dorei Doros, goes on the teacher's account. It's incredible. He says here, we know that there are three times the Ramban brings in Shaar Gemul, three times a person's judged. Every Rosh Hashanah, after a person leaves this world, and then there's a Yom HaDin HaGadol VaNora, the great day of judgment. So he says, well, why do we have this great day of judgment? Weren't you judged after you died? Why do you need another judgment, right? People who've left this world aren't able to do mitzvot. And the answer is, yes, they can't do mitzvot. Yes, there's an idea of Lilui Nishmat that you will do things in the merit of this person, and that adds to their you know, to their account, so to speak. But it's more than that. Everything that a person has done in this world, the ripple effects go on your account for the positive as well as the opposite. So Avraham Avinu, wow, his account is just accruing interest. Rashi HaKadosh, every time a little student learns Chumash and Rashi, wow, it's gewaldic. It just, there's no end to this. And that's what we have to understand, that when we do think, you know, you give charity to a certain organization, you give charity to a yeshiva, they learn. All that learning goes on that person's account. It's mind-boggling on the effects. So yes, a person may have died and they're no longer doing mitzvahs, but the seeds that they've planted, that little seed, can have thousands of wheat coming from it. And that's the dynamics in this world. And the Gra also speaks about this on the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. You have to realize if din v'cheshbo, you have to know in front of whom you're giving a din and a cheshbo. A din, a judgment, is for what you've done. What you've done wrong. A cheshbon is, the accounting is what you could have been doing at that time that you did something wrong, you're held accountable as well. So the time I've spending 10 minutes speaking Lashon Hara, I could have been helping somebody out, calling my grandmother up. So I'm not only held responsible for speaking Lashon Hara, I'm held responsible for what I could have been doing during that time that I used in the negative way. And this is what we have to understand, that we say this by the Rosh Hashanah davening. Ma'ase ishu fukudoso ve'alilos mitzade gaver. Machshavo sadam etach lotav. It's the ma'ase a person does, as well as what could have been done during that time. Achein ala pulotav ashmatav atzov kol odoros ad olam haba. O olam atchiyah shat kvar nigmaru kol ashmot hakodmo. That's the Yom HaDin of all the accumulating effects. And a person has to feel this achrayas, this tremendous responsibility. And the Gra 31 says this about what we say, Matzmiach Yeshua, Nebrach of Trias Ameitim. He says that the actions of one's children can cause the parents or ancestors to gain merit in the afterlife. The repercussions of a parent's actions grow like a plant over time, even after death. It can help the parents merit resurrection. I just had this morning. A young woman in my class said, it's her great-grandmother's yahrzeit today. I said, great, let's learn the class in her merit. More learning with Torah. More. And then, because I'm filming a Tenei Pesach Sheni, somebody had chocolate matzos cookies. So I said, say a bracha in her schluss. Other people say bracha. Answer amen. It just multiplies. This is our understanding. I want to share with you a great story. And as a teacher, you can obviously understand why I like the story, but it is a wow story. Again, Rabbi Spiro's book, Touched by Their Spirit. And then I'm going to bring this Rav Aaron back into our pasuk, and we'll take it home for our lives. The story is found, if you want to read it inside, called Exceptional Exceptions, page 119. It talks about a boy named Josh, ninth grade in a day school in Los Angeles, who is in a class of boys who some of them are more religious than others, and it's obvious that the class is pretty apathetic. The Rebbe, Rav Shmuel Lazer Stern, tries his hardest to be able to guide the boys, lead the boys. It was one day where it was particularly challenging, and the boys were just rambunctious group all over the place. And he got frustrated, and he says, I worked so hard to prepare for this. How come everyone is to prepare lessons every day? No one in this room is interested in learning except Josh. And Josh looks around and says, is that me? I'm interested in learning. Like, he was caught off guard. He didn't feel like he was any more interested in learning than anyone else. But if the Rebbe said that he's interested in learning, so he said, I'm going to commit myself to learning. And he became like the unofficial Shabbos of this Rebbe. And he would spend Shabbos by him, etc. But Josh had learning issues, and it was a struggle to learn. At the end of ninth grade, the Rebbe sent him to an out-of-town yeshiva. And it just, one after the other, it just wasn't working for him. He had a lot of issues. It was hard for him to study. It was hard for him to sit and learn. And even though he really wanted to learn, it was like a real passion of his, it just didn't come easy to him. So when high school was over, he decided to go back to L.A. and get a job, move on. And he worked for a moving company. And a cousin said to him, Josh, you really love learning. There's a new Chofetz Chaim yeshiva opening that just opened in L.A. Why don't you try it out? So he decided to give it one more chance. And that year, the group of people decided to go to Eretz Yisrael. And Josh went along with them. And a group of boys used to go every Shabbos to Bnei Brak, or many Shabbosim to Bnei Brak. They had a childhood friend of the Rosh Yeshiva Slobodka. So one Shabbos, one of the boys got sick who was supposed to go. And they asked Josh, do you want to go? And Josh said, sure. He went, and as he said, he never left until he became the mashgiach of the Slobodka Yeshiva. And he married a person from Bnei Brak and raised a family in Bnei Brak, a chash of a family, at his shiva. This now mashgiach at the shiva of this Rebbe, of Rav Shmuel Lazer Stern. The Mashkiach came to the Veilim and he says, I don't like talking about myself, but for the cover of the Nisvar, I must say it as it is. I have hundreds of Tamidim. I say Shiurim on all Mikzos of Halacha. And I'm involved with marital issues across the length and breadth of Eretz Yisrael. And I owe it all to one person, your father, who showed me what the life of an Eved Hashem is all about. There was much more that Rav Yeshua didn't say that day. He didn't tell the servants that he learned Bechavrutsu with Rav Chaim Kanyevsky, and they had already learned the entire Masechet Brachot and Yushami together. He also didn't tell that recently one of his children had married from the film of the Chazon Ish. But before he left, there was one thing he did reiterate. None of this would have happened without your father. That, my friends, is the message that we see here from Rav Aaron Cutler. One person investing in one other person can change the scope of the world, of Dore Doros, of generation. This is the power that each and every one of us has. And now, my friends, we understand, says Rav Aaron, he says, Mevin Yargish, the end of 30 at Achrayus, one who understands this feels responsibility, Hagdola, Bechol Dvarav, in all of one's words. The Efsher Shayanim Hamistafim Yutkunu Aide Bechiras Habayim Acharav. The children who understand responsibility, what does it mean, Vidvadu Avonam Veravonavotan? Why do we say Aval Nachdu Votenu Chatanu? You know, almost like saying, well, our forefathers also said no. It's a whole different idea. At times we have the ability to stop negative repercussions that our forefathers may have done, or limitations is a better word that our forefathers had done. They didn't know better, but we do know better, or they weren't educated, and we are educated, or they weren't aware, and we are aware. When we are able to tap into certain things that were done in the past that were incorrect, and now we're able to shift the course, we have then stopped the negative ramifications or repercussions for the previous generation and now have brought onto their account only positivity. That is the goal of Vitvadu et Avonam et Avonavotam, where a person feels their personal responsibility, where the core do I need to change to be able to make an effect? Where is the core of those in the past that need to be changed and the way I can help them out in that ultimate judgment as well? And now we understand, says the Be'er Moshe, see the Mayan Be'er Sheva 34. What was the reason their tshuva wasn't accepted? V'yitachen lefarei sharei b'chol ha'parsha mevuar shikara chet shalahem yalicha b'keri. Throughout the parsha, it says the problem was they walked with happenstance. They didn't really feel l'ashkocha of Hashem. V'omnam kishimitvadim achatam k'ti v'itvadu et avonam et avonamatam v'af asher chulmi b'keri. Ki'ilu alicha b'keri tanas tadi v'ein seikar. Yeah, it happens to be. We didn't really take you so seriously, Hashem, the Ashkoch of Hashem. It wasn't their major focus of their sin. It's not enough just to say, oh, you know, it happens to be that I have a major problem and I'm not dealing with it. No! If you're not going to talk about the core, you're not going to talk about the shorish, the root of where you went off, and be able to really face that, then your tshuva is limited, because then you're just going to repeat it over and over. The fact that they were just doing tshuva for the outcome and not for the me'ila that they rebelled against Hashem is great. I mean, it's not great, but that they repented is good. But they didn't get to the core is limited. And that's why Hashem said, you know what? For me to bring the geula, for me to bring the redemption, it's not enough for you to just tell me, oh, yeah, it wasn't so good. No. Be able to face what is the core problem. That relationship with Hashem and be able to fix that. Yaakov Lekatov on the Yamim Noraim, Rav Bifus 35, speaks about this so clearly. He says, for a person who's, let's say, speaks 100 times Lashon Hara and speaks lives, etc., etc., it's not just enough to say, you know, Hashem, I spoke 100 times Lashon Hara, 100 lives. You have to be able to get to the Sibot HaChataim V'Cher HaShem. What's the root? What's the core? Lashon Hara could come from Sinas Chinam. It could come from a zillion factors. Ikara Tviyah, the Dinah 35, Sha'Allah Adam Ball that smoke. When a person has to demand from themselves, he has shoresh hachay v'sibatoi kari. What is the main sin that has brought you to where you're at? When a person is able to get to that main sin, then all the other things begin to fall to the wayside. It's like you go to a doctor. He's not just going to treat you for this. What's the symptom? He's going to treat you for the root. Get to the antibiotics to knock out the infection in you. Otherwise, the infection is going to come back over and over again. Every ma'aseh tov ra yesh siba shisharasho v'lachein alikar amaleinu bevodat hatshuva liyot v'itur hasiba. Our challenge is to find the root, to get at the core in order to be successful. So my friends, we've seen two levels, now we'll bring it home. Level number one, what was their problem? They confessed, but they didn't take personal responsibility. Level number two, their confession was on the outcomes, but not on the root. They didn't get to the source of the infection. So they're just going to give antibiotics over antibiotics. You got to get rid of it. You got to get to the core to rid that out of you. And then you're not going to repeat the same mistake. V'achuli mi bekeri, you walk with me with happenstance. You didn't feel my presence in your life at all times. That's the problem. Admit to it. Deal with it. So obviously, the messages in its own right are clear. We have to do vidui, Erev Yom Kippur, on these areas. But my friends, there's something much deeper going on here. Rav Dessler, Mitzvah Eliyahu 36. Doreinu Dorekvah Sada Mashiach. Our generation, before the Mashiach. Chalkohi Tshuva. Our challenge is to do tshuva. Kidiktiv Yitzvadu et Avonam ve Avon Avotam v'chein Yishiv Leivavos Albanim v'Leibanim Olavotam. My friends, we are living in the door of Ikvah Sada Mashiach, the time right before Mashiach. And Chazal clearly tells us the Gemara in Sanhedrin that Mashiach will come when Klai Yisrael do tshuva. What is our responsibility? Rav Dessler says, this pasuk. Don't read it as, and by the way, when I look at the Chumash, those guys over there, thousands of years ago, they messed up, they didn't confess right. Wrong! Yes, but wrong! When I read this pasuk, I have to look at myself. The Tvadu and Avonav and Avonav Atam is about me. We want to bring the Charti of Pris Yaakov. We want to bring the fulfillment here. We want to be able, right, unlike the Ramban, Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, we understand this to be the time of Tochacha, we want to bring the Yeshua. How do we bring the Yeshua? By us, you and me, having to do tshuva. And what is this tshuva about? So Chaim Moshe Rav Bik 37, as that tells, gives a gevaldic insight. Rabbi Yochanan says, Ein ben Davi Baal, Abedur Shekulo Zakai 37, Abedur Shekulo Chaya. The Mashiach will only come in a generation that's completely innocent or completely guilty. Completely innocent, I understand. Also, deacon, great. Halavai. But completely guilty, it can never be. There will always be a Rav Chaim Kanievsky. There will always be great people. How can we ever have a generation where everybody will be Chayav? So he explains Peshat like this. Elika v'natam ba'omram dor shekulu Chayav hi shekulam yedu v'yakiru shem Chayavim. Where everyone will be able to hold personal responsibility to say I've sinned. Va'idei zeh she'edu shechatu lifnei makom baruchu yaskilu l'shuv b'tshuvah l'avonotayim. Dor shekulo chayim means a generation that's able to admit they made mistakes, to be able to be doing tshuva. And even if you're doing a lot of Torah mitzvot, you have to be able to recognize where our weaknesses are. Dor Shit Kulo Chayev means a generation that is able to take responsibility and be able not to say, well, what do you want from me? You know, with all these iPhones and all of this technology, you know, the fact that I can, whatever it is, be still Sanua is amazing. Like, you know, what do you want from me? No. Don't say, well, be, you know, what do you want from me? And make excuses. Well, this generation, it's amazing. Anyone can do anything. No, none of this. Chatati Lashem, that blank space. Take the personal responsibility. That's one aspect. And the second aspect, and this is it, my friends. This just is bringing together everything we've spoken about, Erev Shavuos. Lekach Alibu V'Avram Levi Shor Shlita, who says, HaChasim Sofer Mevaer Shatarah Meramez Kana Sibah L'Golos Klal Yisrael. What was the reason why we went into Golos? It's because, as the Gemara says, that the reason was Shelo Berchu B'Torah Tchila. We didn't say Berchas Torah before we learned. Chasam Sofer learned this out in this word Asher Malu Bi, that they did Me'ilah. They rebelled against Hashem. Just like a person who eats without saying a blessing is Kol Nenem Alom Sevlo Bracha is Kilu Ma'al. It's as if you betrayed against Hashem. So too, you learn Torah without a bracha. It's also me'ilah. It's also this treachery against Hashem. And that's why the Torah says that this is the tshuva that they have to do for the me'ilah, for learning Torah without saying a blessing. Well, what does it mean that you didn't say a blessing? They didn't say a blessing in the morning? Of course they did. Pshat is, lo hirgishu sheish lem chayus melim at Torah. Saying a bracha means that I realize that this is the source of my whole being. That the Torah zechayus kim chayenu v'aruch yameinu. The parsha is, im bechukosai teilechu, if you walk in my Torah. This is what's about halicha. In Gashmius, if you don't change your kitchen every year, that's fine. If you don't, you know, redo your wardrobe every 2 weeks, that's also fine. Gashmius, there's limitations. In Ruchnius, you constantly have to be going up further and further. What was their problem that they failed to admit? They lo achu b'Torah, shalichatam b'chayim lo haya b'Torah, elechayu shalahem haya b'dvarim acherim, b'gashmius v'nyanei olam hazeh. My friends, the vidui that Klal Yisrael needed to do, and this is the core of that they didn't walk with me. They walk with me with happenstance. The malubi, what Klal Yisrael needed to say, what we need to say, and what we need to take a hard look in the mirror and to be honest with ourselves, is where does our enjoyment come from? Where is our geschmack? Do I enjoy saying a bracha, or do I enjoy eating the ice cream more? Okay, maybe that's harsh. What do I dream about at night? Do I dream about ways of making more money? Or do I dream about ways of becoming a more of a ruchnius person? Do I dream about how I'm going to extend my house? Or do I dream about how I'm going to expand my spiritual house? How I can do more chesed? How I can do more mitzvot? My friends, what is the mindset of where we're at? Rabosai and Erev Shavuos, this is our call. V'izvadu et avonam ve'et avonav otam v'malam asher malu bi v'af asher achui mi bekeri. This is the tshuva we need to do. What is really important to us? Shavuos is coming up. We're counting towards receiving the Torah. Is this really what came? Chayei v'arach kamein, is this what you live and breathe? Is this what you're really anticipating? I can't wait till I receive the Torah once again back on that spiral upward toward closest to Hashem. Is this what you're waiting for with bated breath? Or are you thinking about cheesecake? And what type of recipe am I going to make this year? Where's our focus? Don't get me wrong, cheesecake is important. It's a part of the aspect. But where's the focus? What's really important for our lives? Rabosai, this is a challenge. So often our Yiddishkeit is so superficial. We dress and we act and we talk because everyone is. But it's not getting to the core. It's not getting to the shoresh. Am I an erlicha person? Am I somebody who whole being is on fire for commitment and looking for ways to grow? I look at the way people act and say, ah, I want to be that way. I want to work on that mita. I want to improve on that. I'm looking to be growth-oriented. I'm looking for this relationship with Hashem. And as the the Lech Avalipo of ends here. He says, this is the idea of imichukosai telecho shetu amelim batorah. You don't want amelus batorah, to work hard in Torah? He siman vahuchacha ki odeh ki menu shoeva chayu shalom. Whatever area that is, for men it's actual steiging and learning in Torah, for women it's the derech haTorah, it's the chesed, it's the tzila, it's the raising children. Are we moser nefesh for this because we realize it's important? V'shatorah yichayuto ki imchayinu v'ruch yomenu. And that I'm ready to give my all and be moser nefesh and give up things that I want in order just to be able to give this to my children. That I am exhausted, but I'll stay up late when my son comes home from yeshiva and bake those cookies for him or spend that time with him. It's difficult for me. I'd rather go to sleep, but I'm going to do that because I know it's so important to him. And I showed how Torah is so important and how I'm so proud of him. I'm ready to expend myself a little bit further. That's what this is all about. And this is the question that we have to ask ourselves. When we are honest with ourselves, that we're dor shekulo chaya, that I'm not blaming it on anybody but myself. I am kulo chaya. I am responsible. And I'm ready to admit my sin, that I am being ma'al b'kadosh baruch hu kivyachol, that I am betraying Hashem because I am so splintered in so many other areas of my life that bring me a greater geshmak. I can spend more hours surfing online than I can over a sefer. I realize that this isn't my game, chayin over yameinu. And I realize that there's a problem here in my relationship with Hashem. I get to the root, I get to the core. When I'm able to sit down and say, Hashem, I'm holding on to something, but I need to let go. I need to really work on a relationship with you, because this is the most important thing for me, for my family, for what life is all about. When we are able to say this, and we're able to really live a life like this, then we'll be zocha for a gzardin on Shavuos of a year of tremendous ruchnias, showered with opportunities to be able to give to people and to have our account secure not only in this world, but the Olmayat. As well as that we'll be zocha on a communal level to inspire each other to bring the Pias Gold Tzedek B'mheira B'yameinu. Amen.